You're with us on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer Kent. It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Brad Kohlberg with a story about leaving home and finding a new one nearby.
As the saying goes, home is where the heart is. But for writer B.J. Hollers, it's a little more complicated than that. We can become deeply connected to our physical homes. So moving and moving on can be a process.
While my family and I have cherished our time in Eau Claire, it's time for us to say goodbye. The boxes are packed, the papers are signed. All that's left is to bid you farewell as we embark upon the next chapter of our journey. A journey, I'm pleased to add, that will take us no further than 1.9 miles from our current home. Yet, sentimentalist that I am, any move, even one that lands us in the same zip code, leaves me awash with emotion. Over the past month, while attempting to box up our belongings, I regularly pumped the packing brakes to indulge in various unplanned detours down memory lane, including a writing worksheet I found crumpled in my 7-year-old daughter's room shortly before our scheduled move. She composed several sentences about the move, including, "My house is along the highway. I've been to my new house." But then, in a stunning twist, her declarative statements veered toward the philosophical. Why does the world move so fast? The moment she got home from school, I accosted her. "Where on earth did you come up with that line?" I asked, handing her the paper. "Duh," she said, rolling her eyes, "only from every adult ever." If there's one thing adults do well, it's lamenting the fast passage of time. Unfortunately, we're less adept at finding ways to slow it. Let me be clear. I never wanted to move. Instead, I'd hoped to root myself as deeply to the land as our backyard river birch tree. But my wife had insisted that the children required bedrooms and bathrooms, and eventually, logic won the day. My begrudging agreement came with conditions. I demanded that our new house be within walking distance of our old house. I wanted to avoid all bidding wars, and I didn't want to sell our former house to just anyone. Such stringent conditions, I figured, would buy me a little more time. Instead, the universe conspired on my wife's behalf, rolling out a tailor-made red carpet that made short work of my conditions. One afternoon, the grandparents of a family friend mentioned that they were hoping to downsize. Their home was just the right size and just the right neighborhood, a mere 5,800 steps away from our current home. Within a month, we'd struck a deal. The only bidding war involved me demanding that I pay a little more to make things closer to fair. With 2 out of 3 conditions met, all that remained was finding the perfect buyers for our own home. This being a seller's market, I had the luxury of vetting all interested parties. Following an extensive 37-year process, I found the perfect people. Or rather, they found me. "Wait a minute," I said into the phone. "You mean to tell me that you and Dad would move here?" "Yes," my mother agreed. "There's nothing we want more." After missing one too many of their grandchildren's activities, my parents were anxious to make the 500-mile journey from Indiana to embark upon their own next chapter with us. Now, if this all seems a little too good to be true, it's because it is. I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop. Will the basement flood? Will the roof cave in? Whatever the price, we'll pay it. Because we have found not only the perfect house, but the perfect arrangement too. We lose nothing, and we gain grandparents. Was it Heraclitus or my 7-year-old who said, "The only constant in life is change"? Whomever it was, they were right. While change is scary, it's less so when you know it's coming. And since it's always coming, we ought never to be afraid. When one door closes, another opens. All the better when you've got familiar faces waiting within.
B.J. Hollers is a writer, author, and assistant professor of creative writing at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org, on Facebook, and on Instagram. I'm Brad Kohlberg.
This is WPR News.
You might call Aidan Muse a banjo prodigy. That's him playing the classic Foggy Mountain Breakdown in our WPR studio. The teenager from Twin Lakes in southeastern Wisconsin got his first banjo at the age of 8. By 10, he was winning banjo competitions at music festivals and leading bands of musicians with decades of experience.
Now, at age 14, he's about to release his first EP, which includes 5 of his own original songs. And earlier this year, he received the Wisconsin State Assembly's Hometown Hero Award for his musical talent and how he uses it to help his community.
Aidan joined me for a conversation in our studio earlier this week, and yes, he brought his banjo.
Well, how did you first become interested in the banjo?
Well, when I was 6 years old, I was in the car with my mom, and she turned on the bluegrass channel just to show me a little bit of bluegrass. And one instrument stuck out to me, and that was the banjo. So for 2 years, I begged and nagged my mom and dad for a banjo. And on my 8th birthday, it was right during COVID. So they bought me a banjo just to bring a little bit of happiness in my life. So that's how I got started. For about half a year, I kind of just picked around on it, figuring things out. And then we got myself a teacher, not a real banjo player, just a guitar player, but a great start. And we were with him for another half a year. And then when I was 9 years old, we went to the East Troy Bluegrass Festival. At the East Troy Bluegrass Festival, they had a banjo competition, and I entered and I took first place. And now the headliner that day was Appalachian Roadshow, but their banjo player, Barry Abernathy, was sick with COVID. So as a replacement, they had Mr. Gary Biscuit Davis. Now, Mr. Gary is the only 5-time National Banjo Championship winner, and he was Dolly Parton's lead song director and banjo player for 20 years, and he produced 7 of her albums. So he saw me up on stage, and when it came down, he said, "Hey, you want to pick a little bit?" So it was an awesome time. And about a week later, my old teacher told me, "I can't teach him anymore. He knows everything I know." So we texted Mr. Gary asking if he knew any banjo players in the area that could teach me. And he replied and said, "I think he has potential. I'll teach him." So that's how I've gotten where I am today.
Now, hang on here. You get the banjo at 8. You're playing a bluegrass festival at 9. What are your study habits? What is it that allowed you to pick up the banjo that quickly? Because it doesn't always come that quick for people.
Yeah. When I was starting to banjo, just a lot, figuring out all the chord shapes on the banjo, each on the strings, figuring out up and down the neck, and then definitely those rolls, figuring out the rolls, because the rolls are what build a song. So
so what's a roll for non-banjoists?
A roll is a pattern of notes, a certain pattern that you...
Yes, like the Kylark arpeggio thing you hear on the banjo?
Yes, that can be used anywhere on the neck, and those are the building blocks of songs. So that's... And then I practice at least an hour a day, so that's how I got started, and that's how I started building up my banjo playing.
Are you from a musical family?
Yes, I am. My mom is an amazing singer and amazing pianist, and my dad played the bass for a long time, and they were actually in a band together.
So that made the idea of asking your parents for a banjo a little more realistic than some kids might have.
Yes.
They could imagine that. Now, you also start singing after playing banjo a couple years. What got you into not just playing, but also some vocals?
Well, I've always loved singing, always. It's one of my favorite things to do, and being a banjo player, I mean, not a lot of people can sing and play at the same time, so that's a talent I have and a talent that God gave me, so I just love singing and playing banjo, and it's great because then I could write my own songs and sing and communicate what I want to communicate through my music.
You play banjo, you sing, and you've gotten into songwriting too, and you've got original songs now on your new EP that's coming out. What was it like taking that step from, hey, I'm learning maybe classic songs to I'm writing my own songs?
Well, I've always had a thing for poetry. I love poetry. And when you think about it, poetry is just a song just with music in it. And there's always things I've wanted to communicate through music, things that are important to me. So I got into songwriting because not only does that allow me to make my own music, that be my own artist that I want to be, I can also communicate to people what I want to communicate and stress things that are important to me.
I've seen some of your videos on stage. A lot of your stuff is just you, but sometimes you're on with veteran musicians. And I remember as a saxophonist at 16 or 17 playing in bars with these old guys who were younger than I am now. But it's a little intimidating, right? These guys have been doing it. They're pros. What was it like for you getting up with these people who you might have been watching from the audience and sitting in and holding your own, by the way?
It has been an honor for me. There's so many of my heroes that I've gotten to play with. It is definitely strange after watching them or listening to them, getting to go up and lead them. But it has been a great experience, and I am so honored and cannot believe that I've gotten so many opportunities to play with my heroes, and so many of them have become great friends of mine.
We're talking with Aidan Muse, 14-year-old singer, songwriter, and banjo player from Twin Lakes. He released his latest song, Progress, in May. He plans to release his first EP in the near future. One of the songs on your EP is called Wisconsin River, familiar sight for probably most of the people listening right now. You're going to play that for us in a bit, but tell us a little bit about what's the song about.
Well, the Wisconsin River is about something that's very important to me, the Wisconsin River. I have spent a lot of time around the Wisconsin River. My grandpa Sonny, he built a campground in Mauston, Wisconsin, about 13 miles outside the Dells, right on the Wisconsin River. And I've been going up there ever since I was born. So I grew up around the Wisconsin River. I learned to swim in the Wisconsin River. And my grandpa's ashes are in Wisconsin River.
A very personal part of the Wisconsin landscape,
yes,
for you.
Yes, very personal. And soon my father's ashes will also be in the Wisconsin River. So that's one of the most important things in my life. Wisconsin River. Let me tell you a story about the famous Mescal Sing, the greatest tributary of Mississippi, the mighty. 430 miles with a bottom so sandy, flowing over 14,000 years of Midwest history. Wisconsin River keeps flowing mildly. It's the hardest working river here in our great country. From woods of North Wisconsin, no man river, big muddy. Wisconsin River keeps flowing mildly.
I want to talk a little bit about musical style. People think banjo and they think bluegrass, and there's grounds for that, but it's got a very large, long jazz tradition going back to Dixieland through Bella Fleck playing jazz fusion. As I listen to a lot of your videos, some of it's pretty straight ahead bluegrass, but I hear all these chromatic seventh passing chords. Do you have some jazz in you as well?
Oh yeah, I love jazz, and it's great in putting it into bluegrass. That's the great thing about bluegrass, in my opinion. You can fit any genre into it, any song, and make it sound cool.
Another song, your latest release, Progress, talks about the struggles of farmers in Wisconsin. Tell us a little bit about that song, and you've done some activism on that cause.
Yeah, Progress, where I live in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, I was inspired to write Progress because where I live, I see a lot of forest being cut down, land being taken from the farmers. In Twin Lakes, there is a growing gravel pit that has taken so much farmland to just destroying the landscape and all the land. There's trees being cut down for development. And, of course, the very recent problem of the data centers, which they clear a lot of land and they take a lot of resources, and the solar farms, which they buy from farmers and they just decimate the land and put in these thousands and thousands of solar farms. And protecting farmers is very important to me because without farmers, we can't thrive as a community because they provide everything for us. So we just need to support and protect our local farmers and our forests and our land. Acres and acres of plotland and lot land that once were once. Disposals and cities were once grew the big trees. I'm going back in time if I could. Some people might call me mad, call me strange, but I'll stand my ground when I say that we need change. They say they give friendly, they take away. Say they're building our future, but they're destroying today.
Yeah, that's progress. I don't want progress to sweet.
A lot of people would be happy to just do the music. What is it that makes you want to use your music on behalf of causes you believe in?
Well, I want to use my music to make the world a better place. I feel like I have been given a talent of music to help bring awareness to some of these issues. And I've been very honored since with my social media platforms, growing social media platforms, to bring awareness to those problems that I've always been passionate about.
Aiden, thanks so much for sharing your music with us today.
Well, thank you so much for letting me share it.
That's Aiden Muse, 14-year-old musician from Twin Lakes.